God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Praise the Lord. So good morning. Today is October 8th. It was 54 degrees here in beautiful downtown Alberg when we got here. So praise God. A little different than the 87 we had this past week. I want to talk this morning about upward progress. In Philippians 3, we'll go ahead and start with that first. Philippians 3, beginning with verse 12, says, Paul says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold on me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So I want to talk about upward progress. Paul says, I don't let the things of the past hold me back. I don't count the things of the past to be things to grab a hold to and carry with me. Rather, I examine where I am, and I know what God has called me to do. I know how the Lord wants to work in me, and I press to do what God has called me to do. When we talk about upward progress, Paul says, I'm not saying that I've attained. I haven't reached what the perfection that God has called me to. He said, instead, I continue to go and I continue to press forward. Now, many of you have heard me talk about having pillars of testimony in our lives. In the Old Testament, any time or any place something happened, I won't say something happened, something major, something significant happened, or a lot of times where something significant happened, they set up some sort of marker. So when the children of Israel came through the Jordan River to enter into the Promised Land, they picked up 12 stones out of the riverbed and they built this altar of the 12 stones, signifying what God had done. And when we talk about pillars of testimony, and when I talk about it, I'm talking about looking back over our lives to see what God has already done. How has God been faithful in our lives? Because God is faithful. That's a given. That's proven in my life time and time and time again. I'm sure in your life as well. So looking back to see what God has already done. As we look back to see what God has done, we recognize where He's brought us from. I was looking for the song, Remind Me, Dear Lord. Some of you are familiar with it. I couldn't find one that wasn't really, really slow and really, really twangy. So I didn't get that, but the second verse says, "Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the nails in His hand. Yet He chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. So remind me, dear Lord. God, remind me what You've done. Show me where You brought me from and where I could have been." That upward progress, as we examine our hearts, as we examine our lives for the upward progress that God has already worked in us, because it's God working it in us. I'm not a better man now than I was yesterday because I'm a better man than I was yesterday. If I'm a better man now than I was yesterday, it's because of God working in me. If I'm different than I used to be, it's because of the changes God has made in me. David said, "I know my faults and my sins are always before me. I know what I'm capable of." You know, there's a reason why my cousin says, "You know, when I was growing up, they was the heathen, me and my brother. I know who I was." There's a reason my old Navy buddy says, "Wait a minute, you are a preacher? I know what it's taken. I know where God has brought me from. I know the person that I used to be. And I know that any good in me is because of Jesus." But unlike a lot of people, I look at Scripture a little, I look at least one passage of Scripture a little bit different. Jesus said, be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. You know what that tells me? And I've heard so many people say, well, we'll never be perfect. Well, if Jesus told me to be perfect, why should I settle for saying I'll never be perfect? Why don't instead I say, Lord, make me more like you that I can be obedient to your word, that I can do what you've called me to do. I want to be better than I was because I was told to. Change my heart. Remove the wickedness in me, any barriers, anything that comes up that's holding me back from doing what God has called me to do. I want it out of my life. I want to be who God wants me to be. Because I'm bought with a price. Jesus died to redeem my life from destruction. We talked about that in the last couple of weeks. How we are not our own. He paid the price. I was dead going to hell. No doubt about it. I should have been dead quite a few times. Yet God has a plan and God is still at work. He has not given up on me. And if He's not given up on me, why in the world would I give up on God working in me? Why would I be complacent with where I am, knowing that He has called me to something more? In Romans 13, beginning with verse 10, Paul says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And know this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. Stop right there at verse 11. We're closer than we were. There is progress. There is change taking place. We are farther along than we were. So let's not be satisfied with it just being chronological. I came back to the Lord January 17th, 1993. I have now been serving the Lord, coming back to the Lord for more than 30 years. It has to be more than just days on a calendar. It has to be changes in my life. And if it's not, I need to know that. I need to examine myself. I need to take a look and see where I am based on where I was. To look back at those pillars of testimony where God has changed me, where God has delivered me, where God has set me free, where God has continued to show Himself mighty on my behalf. Knowing God has been with me the whole time. Picking up with verse 12. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness or lust, not in strife or envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Paul is talking to the church when he says, put these things away. He's talking to the church where he says, not in drunkenness, not in lewdness, not in lust, not in strife, not in envy. Guess what? That means you can be in the middle of the church and have all these things going on in your life. Lord, help me. Lord, change me. Lord, work in me that I reflect Jesus in all that I do. Colossians 3, beginning with verse 1. Says, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Stop right there for just a minute. If God has changed you, if Jesus has paid the price for your salvation, if you recognized that because He lives, I can face tomorrow, if you recognize that because of Jesus, heaven is no longer my goal. It is my destination because of what He's done. My goal has to be to encourage others, to lift others up, and to guide other people into the things of God. That has to be my goal. So, if you were raised with Christ, set your mind on the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of the Father. That's an action. Make a conscious decision to follow after the things of God. If God changed you, push on. If God changed you, seek His face. Lord, what do I do now? That upward progress. That's not being content to stay right where you are. Christianity has often been talked about going swimming in a river. If you go on a river and you float, you're downstream. If you go into a river, it's not like a pond or a canal. You go into a river, that water is moving. And if you are not actively going against the current will carry you away. If we are not actively seeking after the things of God, the cares of this life will just sweep us away. My grandparents, who have long since passed, had a house on the Ocalotne River in North Florida. They were 5 miles up from the Gulf of Mexico. And my grandmother said, if you're going swimming in the river, you take a boat with you. We had to tow a rowboat. If we were going to go swimming in this river, we had to tow a rowboat. I used to think that was pretty crazy until the day I was swimming in that river and I couldn't fight the current and I had to climb into the boat because I was being swept out to sea. Now, there's alligators in that river. There's sharks in that river. Because it's just 5 miles up the coast. Bull sharks go a lot farther up into fresh water than that. And here I was. And if I didn't have that life raft, if I didn't have that boat to climb into, I wouldn't have been able to battle on. They would have found me out in the Gulf of Mexico somewhere. Or maybe found part of me out in the Gulf of Mexico somewhere. I don't know. But I know that having the anchor, having the life raft, having the way to be rescued when we face overwhelming obstacles, when we face when we lose our strength, when we lose our ability to continue to fight, is critical. One of the ways we have that one of the ways we have that anchor and that thing that just brings us back into focus is looking at those pillars of testimony of where God has already brought us. What's God already brought me through? How has God already shown himself faithful? I can tell you that God is faithful because God has proved to me each and every time that he is faithful. I can tell you that I'm fickle because sometimes I'm all gung-ho and sometimes I'm not. But praise God, he's at work in me, changing me, bringing me into the likeness and image of his son. God is changing me to be more like Jesus. Now, part of changing me to be more like Jesus is rubbing off a whole bunch of Andro. That pressure, that our faith being refined as silver and gold is refined, as pressure and heat get turned up in our lives and the impurities come up and we have to hit our knees and cry out, Lord, please change my heart. I thought I was done with this. Lord, this still comes up. Father, heal me. Change me. Make me more like Jesus. But we do that by examining ourselves in light of Scripture. And realizing that Scripture is true. So when Jesus said, be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect, that's an upward call. That is motivation into our heart to do what he's called us to do. Not to be complacent, not to just coast on our own strength. You coast on your own strength in a river, you end up in the ocean. Or over the falls or other places that are very, very, very uncomfortable. But when we let God change us, when we let God work in us, and we do that by first acknowledging where we stand. Go back to Colossians 3, where you're there, but I'll start back at the beginning. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. As we submit ourselves to the will of God, as we compare ourselves to the Word, as we recognize what still needs to change in our life, as we are willing to lay down those things that easily beset us, those weights and sins, Paul tells us, the things that hold us back, and recognize that I'm bought with a price. I belong to Jesus. He paid the price to redeem my life from destruction. I deserve to go to hell, but He redeemed me. He paid the price of my punishment that He could also grant me His righteousness. That I can boldly come before the throne of grace, not having my own righteousness, but His righteousness. The free gift of God in my life. When I recognize that, I keep my mind on that, I keep examining that, then I look at my life and say, oh Lord, I still need to be changed in this area. Lord, I still need to be changed in this area. Lord, I still don't have so much of Jesus in me that I'm just overflowing with love. I'm not there yet. But Lord, You called me to be there, so that's where I continue to push. Staying in Colossians 3, we'll drop down to verse 12. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, do you realize you're the elect of God? You are chosen, set apart by Almighty God, the Holy One. The Creator of the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them called you by name. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. This is, make a conscious effort to be that way. And if I can't do it in my own strength, Lord, change my heart. That when people see me, they see the fruit of the Spirit. When people encounter me, they encounter Your grace. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Remember what long-suffering is? That's patience over time. That's not just I can be patient with anybody for 5 minutes. Patience over time. Because God has been patient with me and with you. And that's who we're called to emulate, to be like. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Oh Lord, help me to forgive. Praise God, we have not seen it in this church. But I have been in churches where members within the church would not speak to each other because they were holding a grudge. Claim to be worshiping God, but will not speak to the person across the aisle because of bitterness in their hearts. These things should not be in the house of God. These things should not be among believers. We are to forgive one another. People make mistakes. And even if we don't make mistakes, something we did that was right might be seen as a mistake because of somebody else's perspective. You ever think about that? God, we're called to forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. So-and-so talked nasty to me the other day. They were rather short with me. So I'm just going to get all grumpy. No, that's not what we're called to do. But we have to examine ourselves in light of Scripture to know how to act, to know how to walk, to know who God is, and how to follow Him. Verse 14, but above all these things, put on love. Again, put it on. Make the effort to love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, in which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. He's got to throw in that be thankful too stuff, right? As God's changing us, recognize He has a plan and purpose for us. And if we're just going to be sitting there grumbling and complaining, Lord, why in the world are You doing that in my life? How are we ever going to see the joy of the Lord in the midst of it? If we're complaining, if we're unhappy with what God is doing in our lives, I've been there. Y'all been there? I've been there. Unhappy with what God is doing, we get our eyes off the fact that God loves us. that God has a plan and purpose for us. Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with my loving kindness, I have called you. He loves us. And because He loves us, if we get that stuck in our mind, if we get that in the very core of our being, if God loves us, then anything that He allows to come into our life, He has a plan and purpose. He's already said He's going to cause all things to work together for good. I may not understand the good this side of heaven, but one day I will know, even as also I am known. And if I examine myself in light of Scripture, as I examine what's going on in my life in light of Scripture, recognizing that God, who sees the end from the beginning and directs my steps, knows exactly what's going on, knows how it's going to be good, then I can have a confidence in Him, and I can be thankful even in circumstances I don't like, even in circumstances I don't understand. Because I know who holds my tomorrows. I know who holds my future. I know that no matter what I face, I'm never alone. I have all of the power of heaven with me, protecting me, guiding me, and bringing me through to the other side. It doesn't mean that my days on this earth will be long. It doesn't mean that my days on this earth will be pleasant. It means that whatever God allows in my life, whatever God allows in my circumstances, He has already taken account in His plan for my benefit. Verse 15. Nope, just did verse 15. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through Him. Everything we do should be an act of service to the Lord. Mowing the lawn is an act of service to God. Sweeping the floor is an act of service to God. Taking groceries to a neighbor or whatever is an act of service to God. If that is our heart, that whatever I do in word or deed, I do all for the glory of God. Recognizing that I serve the Lord. I don't serve people. I don't work for an earthly boss. I work for a heavenly boss. And because I work for a heavenly boss, my work should reflect that. And an earthly boss should be grateful. Won't always be. Should be grateful. Because the quality of work is work done unto the King of Heaven. In Revelation 2, verses 2 and 3, we're at the part of Revelation where Jesus is talking to the churches. Revelation 2, verse 2, or verse 1 says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write. Verse 2 says, I know your works, your labor and your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and that you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Now, I threw that in there because in every letter to every church, it starts the same way. To the angel of the church of blank, God gives some, or Jesus gives some definition of Himself. Says the yea and amen. Says the one who holds the seven spirits of God. He gives some definition of Himself. And then He says, I know your works. To every one of those churches, He said, I know your works. To each and every one of us, He says, I know your works. So if God is paying attention to where we are in our walk, we should pay attention to where we are in our walk. As we're pressing for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, as we're making that upward progress, we should be examining ourselves in light of Scripture. Especially if we see an area that, ooh, I'm falling way, way short in this one. hit our knees, seek the face of the Father. Lord, change me. Your word tells me to do this. And for whatever reason, I haven't been able to do it. Lord, change my heart. Like when God impressed on me the need to forgive. Lord, I will to forgive. Your word tells me to. I want to be obedient to your word. And continually cried out to God until God worked it in my life. Guess what? There's a whole bunch of areas in our life we need to seek the face of God, because our face does not yet shine so much with the glory of God that we have to put a veil on it. We are not yet to the point, or at least I'm not, to the point where people can come up and say, "Hey, aren't you a pastor?" People I've never met. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they'll look, "There's something about you. You're a Christian, aren't you?" And there's other times they said, "You know, I never would have pictured you to be a preacher." Praise God. We all need to draw closer to the Lord. We have to check our upward progress. Deb, I'm going to skip 2 Corinthians 13 and go right down to Galatians. Says, "Brethren, if anyone is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one with a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Stop right there for just a minute. There's some assumptions there. The assumptions is we're striving to be spiritual. The assumptions is we know what the will of God is in our life. "If any man is overtaken in any trespass," means we're paying attention to what's going on in the lives of people around us. Not that we're seeking to judge, but we're coming together in community. And when you come together in community, when you come together in fellowship, when you interact with people, there's things about them you find out. That's one of the reasons small churches are so scary to people. You can't hide in a small church. You know, you can go into a church with 10,000 people and, you know, you might not know the person sitting next to you. And even if you see them and you recognize them sitting next to you that Sunday, they can sit somewhere else the next Sunday so that they don't know anybody around them. But in a small church, there's no hiding. You know? So because of that, we're interacting with people. When you see any man overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. It means we all face temptation. We all face turmoil. We all face problems. We have to be examining ourselves, examining that upward progress. "Bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Again, making assumptions about our life without having that basis to judge it on. Without comparing ourselves to the standard of God's word. "I've got it all together." Yeah, no, I don't. But have to allow God to work in us. "But let each one examine his own work. Then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load." Verse 6, "Let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Are we sowing in the Spirit? Are we taking the time, taking the effort to seek those things above? To put our focus on God, to draw near to Him, to examine His Word and or go in His Word and examine our life in light of His Word. If we sow to the Spirit, we will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. "And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Let us not be weary in doing good. You know, I've been nice to that guy for like 5 years and he's never said a good thing back to me. I think I've had enough. Let us not be weary in doing good. We don't know what word we will say. We don't know what action we will take that God will use to have an impact in somebody's life. If instead we continue to seek the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, continue to press on to the things of God, continue to examine our lives in light of God's word that we might draw closer to Him, we don't save ourselves. Our good works have no effect on that. Salvation is in faith by Christ alone, through faith alone. It is only because of what Jesus did on the cross, redeemed my life from destruction, that I can stand here. There is no other reason, no other purpose. But because I am grateful for what He has done in my life, that gratitude should be reflected in my actions. I've said this before. The one definition of grace you will hear just about everywhere is unmerited favor. But there is another definition of grace that I think is critical. It is the gift of God in your heart and its reflection in your life. If God has truly changed my heart, my life should reflect it. If God has truly changed your heart, your life should reflect it. But you don't know that if you're not examining yourselves. If we're not looking for that upward progress. If we're not allowing to say, Lord, make me more like Jesus. You pray. You heard the thing, you should never pray for patience because turmoil's coming. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Patience is a have to have. So why would we not pray for something that we have to have? Lord, I'm afraid of the process. Well, we're supposed to be dead to ourselves and alive to Christ. We were dead in trespasses of sins, and He redeemed our lives from destruction. We should count ourselves as not having arrived, but pressing on toward the mark of the prize of God and the high calling of Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You. Thank You, Father, for Your word. You have called us, Lord, to seek Your face. You have called us, Father, to draw close to You. You have called us, Lord, to examine ourselves and to reach out and to examine our lives in light of Your word, and where we find the shortcomings, where things are obvious to us, Lord, You remove the blinders from our eyes, Lord, to seek Your face, that You would change us and make us more and more and more like Jesus, because You've called us to be ambassadors of heaven. You've called us to be Your witnesses here on this earth. You've called us to be Your hands and feet extended. So often, Lord God, we allow our own circumstances, our own thoughts, our own desires to get in the way of what it is that You want to do. But Lord, as Jesus said, be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. Lord, let us not be complacent. Let us not be comfortable being partway there. But rather, Father, seek Your face for the fullness of what You would do through us, how You would work in us, that You get the glory from our lives. And Father, we give You praise. We give thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.